Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is the familiar account of Ezekiel and the Valley of Dry Bones. It's one that many of us first learned in Sunday school. It's even the basis for a well-known children's song that teaches the parts of the body. But if we can set aside our familiarity with this lesson for a moment, we'll see how very grim it is, at least at the beginning. The prophet Ezekiel was brought by the Spirit of the Lord to the middle of a valley that was full of bones. Bones that were scattered across the surface of the valley, bones of those who had been slain. And these bones were very dry, meaning they had been there for a very long period of time. Ezekiel was taken by the Lord's Spirit to the site of some ancient massacre, and the remains of the victims were simply left there, left behind, unattended, uncared for, not buried, simply left to abuse or decay, to be picked over by robbers or scavengers or even wild animals. It's a very grim scene indeed. And the Lord, when he brought Ezekiel to that place, he wanted him to become very familiar with it. He didn't simply bring him there. He actually led him around among those bones. He took him to see the entirety of the valley. Why? Why impress this gruesome scene upon the prophet? It was to show him the state of the house of Israel. And it is also to show the state of sinners. Your state at one time. And indeed, yours was even worse. For you were not simply dead in the flesh, but you were spiritually dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. The Lord of life created you to have fellowship with him, but you broke that fellowship by breaking his commandments. And like the bones in that valley, you were dry in that spiritual death. That is, you didn't have any spark or trace of life within you. You couldn't even stir up the very beginning of obedience within yourself, for even if you could outwardly do what God commands of you, you could not stir up in yourself the faith and the desires of the heart which God commands. Moreover, like those bones that were scattered across the face of the valley, you too were slain, put to death by the devil, who is a murderer from the beginning. And recall that with his lies and deceit, he led Adam and Eve, your first parents, into death in the Garden of Eden. And by the same lies and deceits, he has tempted you to sin. He has slain your soul. And you too were doomed to eternal death. And that after suffering a temporal and bodily death first. But though our Lord brought Ezekiel the prophet to that grim valley, covered with the dry bones of those who'd been slain and forgotten, the Lord did not leave him there. Our Lord's last words to Ezekiel were not dry bones and hopelessness and being cut off. For then he commanded Ezekiel to prophesy, that is, to preach the word of the Lord. And as he preached, the bones came together, the muscles re-knit, the skin regrew upon those people. But the Lord didn't stop there. He then commanded Ezekiel to preach to the four winds, that the breath might come upon those who had once been slain and give them life. And it happened just as the Lord said. And then the Lord commanded Ezekiel to preach yet another time, to preach this time to the house of Israel. And to say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. So also the Lord God has a word for sinners, for you, after that word of law, the word of condemnation. For the Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to the grave, and he raises up. He has promised to open your graves, to raise you from your graves. He has promised to bring you into his promised land. He vows that you shall know him, that he is the Lord, that his spirit shall be put within you, and that you shall live. He has spoken this word to you, this good news to you, in the gospel. And the gospel is none other than the word of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified and is risen indeed for you. Since you share in flesh and blood, doomed to earthly and eternal death, he himself likewise partook of your flesh and blood. In fact, he was not ashamed to call you his brothers, despite your disobedience, despite your rebellion. He became man, and through his death in the flesh, he destroyed the one who had the power of death, that is the devil. And he has delivered all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain for you. He was put to death for your transgressions. He died in order that you might live. And not just here in time, but also there in eternity. For it was only by death that the penalty of death could be taken away. And not just any death would be sufficient, for the death of a mere man cannot even atone for his own sins. But the death that Jesus died for you and for all was holy and innocent, perfectly free from sin. Even more than that, the death that Jesus died for you was the death of God himself. For in Jesus, the two natures of God and man have been united perfectly. They share a true communion. And so what Jesus did and still continues to do in his human flesh and blood, even dying, which he did once for you, for all, he does as true God. And that human death, that human blood, has divine power and authority in it, power and authority even to cleanse you from all your sins. His death could and did serve as a payment for your sins, for the sins of all mankind. For he died as your perfect substitute. He took your place. He paid your penalty. He suffered your curse. Now, because the penalty that you deserve to pay has been paid in full, the wages of sin is death, and Jesus died for you, there is now no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. But of course, Jesus Christ, who died to sin once for all, did not remain in death. How could he? Being the sinless Son of God, death has no dominion over him. And therefore, just as we celebrated last week on the third day, Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ rose to life, never to die again. As we heard, he appeared to Mary Magdalene and to the women, and to Peter. We heard on Wednesday how he appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, before finally that evening appearing to his gathered disciples in the upper room, minus Thomas, of course. But there in that room, before 10 of his gathered apostles, he declared, "Peace be with you." And as he said, "Peace be with you," he showed them his hands and his side, which had been pierced by nails and a spear. The wounds of Christ bring us peace. He declared peace as he showed the marks of his crucifixion, Because it is only in the death of Jesus that we sinners have peace with God. But thanks be to God, we do. There is peace for you in the wounds of Christ. Peace which brings you true joy. Just as the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord long ago. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Those precious wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ are all sufficient to pay the penalty for every sin, even for Thomas's sins of doubt and disbelief. He was not with his brothers when the risen Lord appeared to them, and therefore, as we heard this morning, he doubted the word that they had spoken, that Christ had actually appeared to them. His doubt was such that he spoke in the crassest terms about the lengths that Jesus would have to take in order to get him to believe. And yet, all the same, Jesus appeared. 1 week later, he came to them. He came to Thomas specifically. He said once more, "Peace be with you." And he invited Thomas to touch those very wounds in his hands, in his side, that made for peace. Our Lord came to Thomas in mercy. It was by the mercy of God that Thomas cried out in renewed faith, "My Lord and my God." There's a common element that runs through our scripture lessons this day, the second Sunday of Easter, and that is the Word of God. And the power of the Word of God to give life to those who are dead. Thomas would have died in his doubt and unbelief. The disciples would have died in their fear if the crucified and risen Lord had not stood among them and said his word, "Peace be with you." And that powerful, life-giving word created joy among the fearful disciples and created faith in the heart of doubting Thomas. Much in the same way, the dry bones in the valley would have remained scattered and slain if Ezekiel hadn't prophesied. But he did. And the breath came upon those bones, which came back together and formed men, and they lived. And so also you. You would have remained in death. You would have died in your transgressions if the gospel, the good news of Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection from the grave for you, wasn't preached to you. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And that's exactly what the Lord your God has done for you. On the night of his resurrection, after he had spoken the peace won by his wounds to those disciples, he then commanded them to go and preach his word, to preach the same good news of peace won by those same wounds he showed them, and to preach it to all nations. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld." And by the power of that word, the apostles went forth and carried out Christ's command. Just as the Apostle John notes at the conclusion of our gospel lesson this morning, the word of God was written down by those men, men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, men who wrote down inerrant words, perfect words, words that have been preserved to you by God's grace to this day, so that you might hear them. And you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and you might have life in his name. But in addition to that perfect holy scripture, the written word of God, the apostles also then ordained successors who would carry on their commission to preach and teach the word of God, to baptize all nations. Pastors. Not apostles ourselves, but those who follow in the footsteps of the apostles, who carry out the same command of Christ that was first given to them, to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant so long as they do not repent. There's a warning in our gospel lesson today. Jesus gives a warning to those apostles. If somebody should reject Jesus Christ and reject his word in unbelief, then their sins are bound to them, and forgiveness is withheld from them until they should repent. But for those who confess their sins and are sorry for them, there is the absolution. The same absolution that you know well, because you hear it week after week. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That word that you hear, it is just as living and life-giving as the word preached by Ezekiel to those scattered dry bones long ago. For that word is empowered by the same Holy Spirit who is himself Lord and God. By the word, you who were once dead in the trespasses and sins you once walked have been made alive together with Christ. By that word, your dry bones have been refreshed and renewed by him who bestows springs of living water. By that word, your scattered bones have been gathered together into the body, the church, of which Christ himself is the head. And you have been given the honor of sonship, to be an heir of the kingdom of God. By that word, your slain bones have been raised to walk in newness of life, just as Christ has risen from the dead. Just as the Lord spoke to Ezekiel long ago about the house of Israel, so it is for you. The Holy Spirit has been put within you. He dwells in you, that you might know the Lord, not by your own reason or strength, but by faith alone, which is the gift of God, not a result of works. By faith, you know that the Lord who died and rose again for you has raised you from death and life, death to life also. Perhaps it's for this reason that the traditional Latin name for this Sunday of the church year is Quasimodo Genitae, that is, like newborn infants. Those words which we heard chanted at the beginning of our Inshua today, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word, that by it you may grow up into salvation. This comes from 1 Peter chapter 2. You have been reborn by the word of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. You have received that good news in faith. And so as newborn infants, as those who have been made alive after being dead, long for that which sustains and strengthens you in your new life. Nothing less than the word of God. It is living and active. It is powerful to make you wise unto salvation. So thirst for it, desire it, receive it, for this word alone gives you life. And make no mistake, the death from which you are rescued and the life that has been given to you by this word is not just spiritual. For those who have been raised from the spiritual death of sin to the spiritual life of faith will really and truly be raised physically in their bodies from a grave to immortal life in flesh and blood. Just as Ezekiel saw the bones of the scattered slain come together again, bone to bone with sinews and flesh and skin, just as the breath came into them so they lived and stood on their feet, so also on the last day, all people will be raised in their bodies. One bone connecting to the next bone. Flesh and skin and breath, all restored. And those who have hoped in Christ will live in glorified and perfected bodies and souls, in his blessed presence forevermore. Until that day dawns, as those who have been reborn by the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, through the living and life-giving word of God, long for the pure spiritual milk of the gospel. Today and every day, For this word alone is able to make you wise unto salvation, the very salvation that Jesus Christ our Lord has won for you. He who was once dead, but is now risen indeed. In his name, please stand. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.